that it's always an encouragement to be here. I think about the attitudes of so many that you're happy to be here, as we all should be, knowing and realizing that there's a number of our members who would love to be able to do what we're doing this morning, but they're not able to be here. And they're missed, but it also ought to remind us of how blessed we are to continue to do the things that we're doing this morning. I appreciate the good job of the scripture reading that Ray did a very good job as always. And Ray, I encourage him to come listen to you Wednesday night because of your lesson concerning the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I appreciate the good job and the song leading that was done, the mention of me in prayers. And for a little while, I want us to think about some more examples that are set forth in the Bible that we ought not be like. And again, it's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And I've got a good number of points, so I decided to split it up into a three lesson series. And you could just go, and then again, it'd be another good study that you might want to do, or we may do at some point in time, to think about some examples in the Bible, and there are many, that we ought to strive to be like. Good examples in the Bible. There's no better example than as Peter wrote about in when he wrote that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in His steps. The Apostle Paul said, I've given you an example that you should do. And so there's a lot of examples of good individuals that did right in the sight of God that we would certainly do well to follow after the example, after the pattern that they set for us. So I picked out just a number to continue this lesson this morning that I hope will be beneficial to you. We talked about last week, be ye not therefore like unto the hypocrites. Be ye not therefore, and that's taken from Matthew chapter 6. You could look at Matthew chapter 23 and other places. Be ye not therefore like the worldly. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And we talked about be not like the spiritually ignorant, taken from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. I'd like for us to think about a few more than we also talked about. Be ye not therefore like unto the Laodiceans in the book of Revelation chapter 3. This morning I'd like for us to think about. Be ye not therefore like unto the vain worshipers. If I were to ask you, where does the Bible talk about vain worshipers? Would you know? I hope that your mind would go to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, the Lord talks about that. And He says, and we're going to begin before Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 9, which is where the text is for this point. But notice as He's talking to the disciples, He says, verse 9 is where our point is. He says in verse 7, ye hypocrites, and the Lord often, as we already talked about from Matthew 6 and made mention of in Matthew 23, He often talked about hypocrites. Today, folks look at that and they think that's just too hard. Well, I hope that I'm willing to be as hard as the Lord was and as soft as the Lord was. He dealt with different people in different ways, depending on what the issue was or the circumstance was at hand. Now, that's not situational ethics. That doesn't mean that the Lord did wrong in order to do what was right. But He dealt with different people in different ways. But again, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let's stop there for just a moment. I appreciate what Brother Belvis said as he presided over the Lord's Supper this morning. The fact that we ought to be focused on the task at hand, not thinking about worldly things, but thinking about what we're doing. So I ask you, did you think about the Lord's death when you partook of the Lord's Supper? Did you think about what you were singing as you sung it? You can sing alive, by the way. So you've got to pay attention to the words. There are some words and some hymns that I think are questionable. May be very questionable that I've heard along the way. As the prayers were led, did you pray unto God? We talked about this morning that it can't be done for you. Do you pray? Or do you just listen to the prayer? I hope that we're engaged in praying. We ought to listen. There's no doubt about that. For he that listen to or hears thy prayer, how shall he say amen except there are words that you can be understood? And so I know that it involves me listening to the prayers that are being led. But do I pray to God? And then I'm reminded about the fact that I can do a lot of those things and all the while going through the motions and my heart not even be involved in it. And that's what the Lord's discussing in this passage. He says again in verse 8 that Isaiah prophesied of you, saying that this people honors me with their mouth. They draw nigh with me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. Lip service. Is saying perhaps the right things. They're giving honor unto the Lord, drawing nigh to me with their mouth. But then he says, their heart is far from me. An individual once said, you can come and you can occupy a seat on the pew Sunday in and Sunday out and still be guilty of forsaking the assembly because you didn't put your heart into it. But then our text, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's several things you could park and make observation of. One was a problem that they were teaching the wrong thing. They were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, what men wanted to be taught. And we can't do that. A lot of places do, but we strive not to do that here. We want to teach what the Bible says. For what saith the Scriptures? Romans 4 and in verse 3. Whatever we do or say, to do it all by the authority of Christ. Colossians 3 and in verse 17. As we mentioned before, search the Scriptures. The Lord said, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. John 5 and in verse 29. So we're busy about doing things that the Lord would have us to be done. Were they worshiping the Lord? Don't answer out loud, but just think about that. Someone says, well, they really weren't worshiping. The text says that they were worshiping. Worship means to pay homage toward God. Now, I just made mention, and by the way, that is not John 5, 29, it's John 5, 39. For search the Scriptures, for in them think have eternal life. I just mentioned on the radio program this fact, that many times individuals, though sincere, though they think what they're doing is right and pleasing unto God, it's not. And somehow a lot of people today have allowed themselves to be convinced. I hope you're not guilty of this. I hope I'm never guilty of this. Of being convinced that simply because I offer something directed unto God, that God is obligated to accept it. I don't know, many of you might listen to different kinds of music, but there was a song of a religious nature, if you want to call it that, that was put out, and the singer said, Lord, we are giving this song unto you. We know it's not what you have required, but we are giving it to you. I dare not give unto God what God has not authorized me to give to Him. If I do, I do it without His authority. Be careful about that. Be careful about offering unto God what God has not said He wants. And then don't let the other be undone. Don't withhold from God what God has said that He wants. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. There are at least four types of worship in the New Testament. One we just read about, vain worship. In Colossians chapter 2, he talks about will worship. And some individuals want to try to be engaged in worship that is according to their will. In Colossians 2 and in verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Be careful about doing things according to the will of man. And then number 3, you read about worship that is done in ignorance. Where would you go for that one? Acts 17. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine, or rather Acts 17, Whom ye therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. But God winked at this ignorance, and now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's three. Vain worship, will worship, ignorant worship. Worship in ignorance. What would you put as number four? Now someone may say about mock worship when they took the Lord and they mocked him. Just mock worshiping. But number four, John 4 and in verse 24, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The right attitude, doing what God would have us to do. Be ye not therefore like unto the vain worshipers. Number two. Be ye not therefore like unto the backslider. Belvis, if you listen to the sermon Sunday, the invitation rather, Wednesday, just talked about falling from a right relationship with God. It was Wednesday night, I believe. And did a very good job with that. I know, as he pointed out, that there are passages that people try to use where they say, now look, I'm going to hang my hat on this peg. This verse teaches that it's impossible to fall. They are in my hand, the Lord said, and no man shall pluck them out. Well, that's not teaching the impossibility of being plucked out. That's just simply saying no one can make you do it. But you can choose to leave from the Father. Another passage that they might use to try to say that it's perseverance of the saints, once in grace, always in grace, once saved, always saved. But one verse in the Bible, a very basic Bible study rule is this. One verse can only teach what another verse will allow it to teach. If those passages taught that it's impossible to fall from a right relationship with God, you'd have to discard a number of passages that say that you can fall from a right relationship with God. Belvis gave you several. I've got a list, and I'd be happy to share this list with you of several. 20 passages, and that's just a few that I put together on passages that teach that you can fall away. Like Luke 8:13. The parable of the sower, they on the rock are they which, when they hear the word, receive the word with joy, and have no root for a while, believe, and in a temptation fall away. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him who thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. And he's writing to those at Corinth, Christians, people that obeyed the gospel. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, how in the world could you err from the truth? If it's impossible to do so. But keep reading, and one convert him. If any of you, and he's talking to Christians, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, that is to be restored from whence he had fallen. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Someone said, well, he's talking about people who have not obeyed the gospel yet. Not so. James is writing to brethren. Brethren, if any of you do are tempted, he talks about in James chapter 1 as the book opens up. In 1 Thessalonians 3:3-5, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest that by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. In other words, lest you'd gotten off course. You'd fallen from a right relationship with God. And then the work that we bestowed upon you was nothing but in vain. That means to no avail. Like, in vain they do worship me. Their worship was to no avail. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also those of like precious faith he's writing to. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Colossians 1:23, if ye, and we won't read through all these, but you can't get around these. They're so simple. If ye, the Christians at Colossae, continue in the faith, if you continue, which infers that I may not continue, if you continue grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now I love Hebrews 3:12 for this point. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then folks come along and say it's impossible to depart from the living God. A lot of preachers preach that. We on the Hazard Station, I hope maybe you get a chance to listen to that program that you support here on 101.1 on Sunday mornings at 9:15 and the afternoon at 3:30. But there's another preacher that comes on that station, Joseph Engel, who teaches that you cannot fall from a right relationship with God. That's just simply not the case. I've given you the passages. And many, many more. I'd be happy to give you a copy of this if you want it. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Revelation 2, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Revelation 2. And in verse 10, Paul knew what was in store for him because he knew that he was faithful unto the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. He knew that it wasn't long before his earthly pilgrimage would be over. And he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Be ye not therefore like unto the backslider. Then I want you to come to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. In Matthew, chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount is going to be summed up. Close, come to the end. And what better, more fitting thing the Lord could talk to the disciples about. After talking to them about this is how you're to be, this is what you're to do, this is what you're not to do, this is the attitude you're to have and not have. Let your light so shine before men, Matthew 5:16. Pray after this manner, our Father who art in heaven, Matthew chapter 6. Be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, Matthew 7:1. And then that chapter comes to a close. The Sermon on the Mount's going to come to a close. And notice what the Lord teaches them. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to begin with verse 24. Therefore, after in light of all these things. And he just stated in Matthew 21, 22, and 23 of Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know that passage very well. Ought to by now. You get to verse 24 and he says, therefore, in light of what I've said to you, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You want to be reminded, or likened rather, unto a wise man that built upon the rock, and the floods came, the wind blew, and the rain, and so forth, the storms. And he says it didn't fall, because it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when the Lord concluded that, the Bible says that they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. We can hear the word of God and choose to do nothing about it. And a lot of people do that. They know what the Bible teaches. They hear sermon after sermon after sermon. And still they choose to hear it and not do it. And the Lord says the man that does that is like the foolish man. A foolish builder built his house upon that which was not stable, and it fell when the storm came. Don't be a forgetful hearer. I know I read that somewhere in a book where we're admonished to not be a forgetful hearer. James chapter 2. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Verse 21. Then he goes on to say in verse 22, be ye not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. For if any man heareth the word and doesn't do it, he's likened unto a man that beholds his natural face in a glass, looking in a mirror. He goeth his way and forgetteth straightway what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, New Testament specifically, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, what man? The doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you ever wonder why the Bible pronounces a blessing on and emphasizes doing? In Psalm 1, talks about doing. Reading, meditating upon the law of the Lord. That's what he did. And he was blessed as a result of it. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, and they that keep the things which are in this book, for the time is at hand. That's a doer. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. Revelation 22, 14, they did. We did what the Lord said to do. Not think I did what the Lord would want me to do, but I did it according to... Now we have some... Those that thought they did, and I've already pointed that out to you in this sermon last week in Matthew 7, verse 21. Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and they were lost. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, 1 John 2:17. The blessing is pronounced not upon the one that hears and forgets, but upon the one that hears and does. And that is not meritorious salvation. Works-based religion, as we're accused a lot of times. That's not what God said to do. That's God's works. That's God's works of salvation. We're simply doing what God said to do as revealed in the Bible. So be ye not therefore like unto the foolish builder. I'll give you one more. I were thinking about those that are foolish. Come with me to the book of Luke chapter 12. I tell you, it makes a good study to consider what the Bible says concerning the wise and the foolish. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, or 12 rather, Luke 12, and in verse 15, the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Sometimes we might think, I can't remember where that's at. I'll give you a good way to remember where that's at. You'll need it. All of us do. Because he's getting ready to launch out into this teaching about a foolish farmer. A foolish man who had a garden, a farm, ground, however you want to phrase it. And he's going to teach that in light of what he had just stated about covetousness, and that your life, my life, doesn't consist in tangible, physical, earthly, carnal things. Now notice the teaching that he gives them to get the point across. He taught them in verse 15, and now he's going to just ground it into them. Make it sure. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? By the way, a lot of you planted this year. Did it bring forth plentifully? Evidently, this man had a lot. Now, how much I don't know, but enough he's contemplating about tearing some things down. That much. That's a lot of grain. Several years ago, I held a meeting in Northern Ohio and stayed with one of the elders. He was a farmer. And he had a contract with Coca-Cola to farm soybeans for Coca-Cola. And he had beside his house three silos that held 30,000 grain a bushel each. That's a lot of grain. And he took me out to a co-op where him and some other farmers brought their grain and to load a train. 1.1 million bushel of grain in that one silo. And they were building another one just like it beside of it. Big outfit. This man had a lot. Now notice what the text says. It brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I went through my Bible and I've underscored all those personal pronouns. I, my. That was one of his problems. What shall I do? Because I had no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. And I'll build greater. Did you ever have so much that you went around and started ripping down your assets? No, we probably appreciate every two before we have. Let alone build them down to erect another. This man had a lot. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down. I'm going to destroy the ones I have so that I can build back better, greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Was it wrong to have anything? Was it wrong that God had blessed him with an abundance of crop that year? Now here's the problem. God says, no, read the next verse, verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In essence, God gave, but he failed to give God thanks for the things that he had. Oh, preacher, I'd never do that. No, sir. I'd never do that. When's the last time that we thank God for the things that we have? And we recognize that I've not been hungry in a very, very long time because I have food. I've got a refrigerator. I've got a freezer. All of you, I'm sure all of us do. I've got cabinets that are probably running over. And I'll go back and get some more. And I've got canned food stored up. And I've got cellars stashed full. I've got And then many times we don't even think about the fact that God's the one that gave it to us. And really, when the rubber meets the road, the Bible declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it all belongs to Him anyway. But don't touch what's mine. We need to have the right attitude and thank God and understand that we are daily dependent upon Thee. No wonder the Lord would pray in the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It comes from God. He sustains us. I laid down and slept. I wait for the Lord sustain me. The words of the psalmist in Psalm 3. In Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17. And also in Acts 17, for He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God gives us what we have. Don't be ye not therefore like unto the foolish rich man of Luke chapter 12. I hope that the lesson's been beneficial to you. There's still several more that I've got on the list that will continue if I don't wear you out with that sermon. I appreciate you being here, and if you have questions about what you've heard, don't hesitate to let us know. But you should be thinking about your relationship with God. I hope you are. And it may very well be the case that you've obeyed the gospel and all is well with your soul. And if it is, we're thankful for that. Keep up the good work. But you may be here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you realize that. And you want to obey because you know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and you want to go to heaven. We want you to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. Made provision for your salvation. If you hear the gospel, you believe it. John 8:24, repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. That's His plan, accomplished by the blood of Christ. And that blood will be applied to your soul when you obey, to rise to walk in newness of life and can go on your way rejoicing because you're a child of God, Acts 8. But you may be here this morning, you may say, "Preacher, you know what, I have done that, but I've not lived my life as I should. I've not been faithful. I've got some things amiss. I need to straighten up and I want to come back home. I want the joy of God's salvation." Make it right by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We have heaven's assurance that He'll forgive. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Do not delay and put it off hastily. Come right now.